From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
The awareness around term insurance plans is growing, which is the best product to protect your family in case something happens to you. However, most people are stuck in traditional insurance plans that neither give you enough life cover nor attractive returns. What to do if you want to get rid of such traditional policies? Hello, I'm Aprajita and you are listening to Why Not Mint Money podcast. I have with me Satpreet Mohanty. He is co-founder of Value Enable, an insurtech startup.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Welcome, Satpreet.
Hi, Aprajita.
Yeah, so my first question to you is about when somebody surrenders an insurance policy or life insurance, traditional plan, or for that matter, even ULIP plan, then what happens if they are doing it between the policy, if they are doing it during the policy period?
Right. So, Aprajita, like you covered in your intro about, you know, people stuck in low return plans, etc. So, I'll just first tell you very briefly about these savings-oriented insurance plans and what happens if you get a surrender value. So, let me start with the traditional plans, which is, some plans with guarantee or some guarantee with upside, along with the life insurance wrapper, which is the most popular, most commonly sold life insurance product in India today. And what these products give you is like typically a long-term benefit or a lifetime income, which is guaranteed, etc. Along with a life cover, which comes in. So what happens is typically, these plans don't have great liquidity or great cash value. Okay, that is the big criticism against such plans. So when you exit such plans, the surrender value typically, and this could be because of any emergency, you have something which is a higher of guaranteed surrender value and a non-guaranteed surrender value. So this is just the exit value effectively, or the cash value that a customer gets. Guaranteed surrender value is what, the regulator IRDA has always prescribed for such products. It's typically a percentage of premium. It is obviously, for most of the policy term, you'll probably get less than the premiums that you have paid back. And this is the guaranteed surrender value element. Now, there is also something called a non-guaranteed surrender value or a special surrender value, which is something the insurance company provides, which is typically higher than the guaranteed surrender value. The definition is obviously it's like a present value of future benefits that you're supposed to receive, typically higher than the guaranteed surrender value. But again, this value is also not very high. For most customers, when they enter into these long-term contracts, traditional policies as they're called, if you exit, even in the midway into the policy term, you could get less than the premiums that you paid back, and which is a big criticism against such plans.
Right.
ULIPs work a little differently because they are market-linked instruments, so they have a lock-in period, and then within this lock-in period, typically there are charges, etc. But after the lock-in period, whatever is your fund value, there is no surrender charge, etc. now, and you can take whatever is your fund value, but for the first 5 years, the policy is
locked.
Your money is locked in. So that, I hope, covers the first question that you had.
Right. So, I have seen people that they get surprised when they get to know about the surrender value that they are receiving against premiums paid so far. But I did some calculations and a lot of other people also talk about it, that if the same premium amount is invested in equity mutual funds and the surrender value that you are receiving, even though it's lower, but if you put that amount lump sum in an equity mutual fund along with future premiums also in an equity mutual fund, then the amount that you'll receive, keeping in view the same policy period in mind, then obviously the IRR will be much better, returns will be much better than what you would get if you continue in the same policy. So your thoughts on it, even though I understand that in this policy you are getting guaranteed return, and guaranteed return is something that people do want, but not all people. So your view on it, who should surrender and who should actually think about deploying this money in equity mutual fund?
Right. So, like every financial instrument, and that includes traditional, life insurance plans. See, there are various characteristics, and returns or expected returns is not the only one. There is the risk element, also the liquidity element. Now, these traditional plans, which is now, from this conversation, I understand that a lot of people criticize these plans, maybe on your platform. See, what happens is they are not great on liquidity. The long-term benefits, most of those benefits are guaranteed, which is called non-participating plan typically. There is something called a participating plan where part of the benefits are guaranteed and part comes through bonuses. Now, these plans should be bought only if you want to stay the course. You pay all premiums and stay till the end. And these the exit value, which you said is, people suddenly find out that they are getting less than the premiums paid. This is something when they buy the policy. These things are there in the product brochure. These are there in the benefit or sales illustration that is shown to them. Obviously, definitely these things should have been explained much better at the point of sale. And otherwise, I'm sure these gaps won't be coming after 2-3 years of purchasing a policy. Having said that, I don't agree to this view that one should surrender or stop paying premiums in these plans and buy something. Because this is not apple to apple. The equity mutual fund or a ULIP plan, etc. They have obviously a high return potential, but there is also a risk. And so, otherwise, where is the point of asset allocation? I would want to have some part of my assets in equity, of course, and some which are giving me guaranteed returns, especially those which are for the long term, let's say for my retirement. Right. Hence, from that perspective, just because I want to buy an equity mutual fund, I want to surrender this plan or I want to stop paying into my traditional plan, I would personally not recommend that at all. Unless, one is so sure that, I want to invest in some shares or mutual funds and I have a really long time to go, and hence, long term I can earn much more than all of this combined, then maybe, good luck to them. But I personally not recommend actually anybody to take this kind of a financial decision.
Right. Okay. And in case somebody doesn't want to surrender, but they are not in a position to continue the policy, they don't have liquidity, they don't have money to pay premium, then what are their options?
So, see, in these plans are so designed that, they're designed so that, assuming the customer is paying all premiums, the benefits will be at the optimal level. But if you don't want to pay, there is something called paid up. So assuming that you have paid minimum two years of annual premium, these policies get into something called a paid up mode, in which you can, or some people call it reduced paid up also, which effectively means your benefits get reduced. You don't have to pay for the premiums. The benefit schedule that was, given to you, that will follow. Say you were promised something at the end of 20th year, you'll get something at the end of 20th year, but obviously the value will be reduced. If there are bonuses in the plan, so typically future bonuses stop coming or getting attached to your policy if you stop paying premium. But this option is always available. Again, not something we recommend, but obviously this is much better than surrendering one's policy and getting lesser benefits. And needless to say, your life cover also, when you surrender, your life cover goes to zero, right, in a traditional policy. But if you keep it in reduced paid up, you'll have some life cover. Again, not the best option, but it's still better than surrendering your policy.
Okay, so in this option, people are not really losing money and they are getting fair value against premium paid so far. Just that, yes, they have to stick to the policy till the
For an example, if somebody had, I had to pay 10 premiums and stay till the 20th year, and the guaranteed return offered was 6.5%, let's say. If, let's say, I have to stop paying after 5 years or so, maybe I'll get the IRR will be about 2% less or so, very roughly.
And is there something else apart from surrender or paid up, something else that policyholders can explore?
So, yeah. So, with respect to, like I said, these plans don't have great liquidity feature. That's how they're designed. But say, in a 20-year period, there could be years when 20-year, 30-year period, there could be years when there is a financial, emergency, etc. There are options like taking a policy loan that a lot of people do today, especially with LIC. So you can take a loan against your policy from the insurer, or you can just assign the policy to a lender and take a loan. That option is always available. Again, please understand that nobody is saying that take a loan to buy an insurance policy. That will be foolish. But the idea here is you already have an insurance policy. That's an asset you've created. And if you need liquidity, take a secured loan against that at a interest rate which is much lower than what you would get in an unsecured personal loan. Take that, don't forfeit your long-term benefits, but take this loan to meet your short-term needs and maybe pay it back to the insurance company or the lender. That's the idea there on policy loans.
Okay. And how much loan one gets, is there any formula to it? So how would people know that this is the policy value, and against that, to what extent can they get the loan?
Right. So very broadly, in these traditional kind of policies, you'll have about 80-85% of the surrender value in most plans. Right? In most plans, about 80-85% of your surrender value or cash value can be taken as loans. Now, it varies a little bit from insurer to insurer. When you want to, alternatively, you can always go to a lender and take this. So again, in traditional policy, this will be similar. Now, ULIP is very interesting because as per IRDA regulations, the insurer cannot lend you against an ULIP policy like they can for a traditional one. So the policy loan feature is what it is called. It's not available for ULIP policy. So the lender, your insurer cannot give you a loan, but you can take it from any, assign your policy to a bank or an NBFC and take that money. Even in ULIP, this is available. And here, what happens is typically, it depends on where your monies are, in which fund your monies are. If it's an equity fund, obviously you'll get, loan to value ratio will be low, maybe 35-40%. But if your monies are, you can switch your money to a debt fund, a safer fund, right? In the ULIP, that option is available. And then your loan to value can go up, loan to your cash value or certain fund value can go up to maybe 75-80%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you mean to say that if we are supposed to take loan against policy, so it's possible for traditional plans and also for ULIPs, but we have to reach out to a lender. Insurance companies don't lend you. We have to reach out to lenders. This could either be banks or other financial institutions. And against that, they will lend.
Just to add, ULIP also have something called partial withdrawal. If you have crossed 5 years, right, across the lock-in period, you can also take out part of your funds, In fact, before loan, that partial withdrawal is an option which a lot of people take. So I have, say, 10 lakh in my fund value. I can take out 2 lakhs, 1 lakh for any emergency, and the rest can grow in the fund. That's another option which is available.
Okay. And I assume the loan value in case of traditional plan will be higher than the surrender value that one gets. Is it safe to assume?
No. Like I said,
lenders.
Like I said, you have a cash value or the surrender value. You typically, in traditional plans, you get about 80-85% of that cash value as your loan.
Any year, right? This could be policy year 1, year 2, year 3.
Anything. See, the first year anyway, you don't have a cash value, right? Your policy effectively attains a cash value after you paid 2 full year's premiums. But obviously, your cash value is going up, is growing. But you have the percentage, the loan percentage, loan as a percentage of cash value remains in the 80-85% range.
Okay.
So that is also growing, but
And there is something called assigning the policies to someone else. So
that's right.
Talk about that. So, and do people do it? Is it popular?
it is, see, this assignment, like I said, you know, when you go to a lender and take a loan against your policy, that's also assignment. What is, you know, kind of emerging now, and we also do a little bit of that here for our customers, is where we are saying that there are financial alternatives, better alternatives available for liquidity than surrender. Right. This is not something that you kind of promote to, you know, for customers who are paying premiums. This is only for customers who want to surrender, have decided to surrender. They don't want to take a loan. In that extreme situation where they're getting a cash value, which we already discussed, is very low. And please understand that they're also losing their life cover. Right. They're also losing their life cover. What is from, you know, the alternative is that any other market participant or any like a third party can give a value which would be higher than what the surrender value is from the insurance company. In some cases, it can also be that, you know, your life cover will be same as what the insurance company is providing, but you will also, you were to also lose the life cover, but part of your life cover can also continue. So effectively, in case of surrendering customers, you're getting a better deal than what you're getting from the insurance company directly. That's the financial alternative that I was talking about.
Okay. And if somebody wants to go for it, then what is the process? Do they should they reach out to insurance company? And how do they do it?
So, policy assignment is something which is allowed under Section 38 of the Insurance Act. And yes, they have to reach out to their insurance company if they were to do it. There are, companies who kind of help make this marketplace. There has to be somebody who has to buy this policy also, right? In that sense, but the person this policy will be assigned to. Yes, it has to be done through the insurance company. In fact, the Act is very clear that when this assignment happens, the insurance company has to, it kind of has to be registered in the books of the insurance company. So you can't go out and do a side deal and, you know, the insurance company has to know, and they have the right to reject such assignments also. Say, for instance, you know, there is any a shoddy deal happening, you know, somebody is trying to make a fool of this customer, saying, you know, I'll promising something wrong, or if there is any law such thing which is not in the interest of this policyholder, then the insurance company has a right to also stop such assignments. But today, yes, these are happening. It's still a very small market in India. But yeah, I think the broad idea here is that maybe market forces can always determine or can solve this problem of, you know, low cash value in such traditional insurance policies by finding out different alternative solutions, right? Even if the surrender value provided by the insurance company is low, these other players could then keep it in check by offering something better to the customer.
Okay. All right. And I have also heard about having a secondary market of insurance policies. It doesn't exist in India. It does exist in a couple of global countries. So your thoughts on it. Can a secondary market of insurance policies be created in India? Is it something that we should consider?
Yes. So this whole policy assignment, when you give it to a third party, it's like I said, that effectively is the secondary market, right? Because insurance company was giving you X, and here is another player who's giving you X plus something more, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it is more surrender value or a life cover continuance, that is what that marketplace is, and that is getting more and more organized, you know, as we speak. It's still very small, and getting more and more organized in India as well. There were a lot of gray areas earlier around, you know, around the regulations, but I think those things are getting, people are getting more clarity on that now. And in my opinion, it is pretty much allowed and doable as long as it's in the interest of the policyholder.
Mm-hmm. Right. But people are talking about trading insurance policies and having more market participants. So currently, insurance company has a role to play, and we have to find the person who we want to assign it to. But then institutional players also coming in, and probably they buying the policy. Buying and selling, trading, hardcore trading.
No, so, you know, as per law, so trading as a, so assignment may be allowed, but trading isn't allowed.
No, it's not allowed. Just want to understand your thoughts on it. Should it be considered? Obviously, it's not allowed.
See, I think it should be, as long as there are checks in place. Because finally, what are we talking about? We are looking at somebody who's getting, it's a financial instrument. somebody owns. If I own a financial instrument, I want to know what its market value today is, right? And today there is only one way to find out. I have to go to my insurance company and ask what is the surrender value. There's no market for such a policy, right? So with more participants coming in, there can be a fair value established. Market forces will determine what is the fair value of that contract today, right? And these are long-term guarantees. So somebody might value it much more than I am valuing it today over my current liquidity needs.
Right. Yeah, this is really interesting. Just last week I did a story on surrender regulations, the rollback of surrender regulation. I spoke to a lot of people and everybody on the same page that yes, this should be considered. It is something that is a win-win situation for all stakeholders. Customers can surrender their policy, insurance company can maintain their persistency ratio because essentially the policy is not being surrendered. And then market participant buying the policy, they will also get better IRR, better return on the policy. So win-win for all. So that is there.
Yeah, I just want to just add there that insurance policies are surrendered, but it's traditional set of policies, right? I mean, as a percentage of the overall traditional AUM in the country, that surrender rate is still very, very low. And it is good that it's low. What it means that people understand that these plans are maybe they bought it for the long term. So this whole narrative that people don't need them and they want to really surrender. But finally, if you look at the total traditional surrenders in the entire country compared to the traditional AUM of these the traditional plan AUMs, that number will be very, very small. And all these assignment and everything, all that it will do, or the policy load, all that it will do is if somebody who has bought these plans and is in an emergency, right, and really wants higher cash value, it can help them. People who want to continue with these policies and are very clear why they have bought these policies for the long term, I think they will not be affected by either the regulation or the secondary market coming.
Right. Just more awareness is needed, and ultimately the crux is that if you are buying this policy, then you must understand that it's a long-term product.
Absolutely.
That is the main point. And if you do know about exit value and everything, once you are aware of every little nuances of it, then you should not get into it. And if you have indeed entered into it, then simply continue. So that's what matters. Yeah, thank you so much, Satyam. You have really clarified all these things for us. And people who do want to surrender, or they have multiple options. Surrender is not something that you have to do. You can very well take loan. You can very well make it paid up. So a lot of options are available. You can assign it to. So thank you for sharing all these options with us. And I hope to have you in my future podcast as well.
My pleasure, and thank you for this opportunity.
I hope you liked the episode today. I am available on X by my handle, Apri_Sharma. And you can also look for my name on LinkedIn, which is Aprajita Sharma, and you'll be able to find my profile. For more such interesting podcasts, keep tuning into hdsmartcast.com. Thank you.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.